Titled my message this morning is called Messenger. Messenger. Who understands that all of us have been born for a reason and a purpose? Every one of us. There is something that you were born for to fulfill. So whatever phase of life or whatever you're going through, God will always turn it to good for the glory of the kingdom. And He will get out of you what He's placed in you. You were born for it. You were born for such a time as this. And He will get His glory. He will cause the jigsaw to fit. Amen. That's all right, son. That's all right, son. Exercise your lungs. He will cause something in you to fulfill His purpose and His destiny for your life. And I don't want to banter that word around because I think it gets a little bit abused, the word destiny. But the reality is, you were designed for a destiny. You are actually designed. Your DNA is to fit something in life to get God some glory. Amen. And He hasn't finished with you yet. That's another key. He hasn't finished with you yet, but there can be roadblocks in life that cause us to stumble and cause us to question. Amen. Well, I'll say amen to me. Amen. Amen. And the reality is that God expects me to pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep on walking. Amen. I don't sit there saying, oh God, can you fix my little graze or my stubbed toe? Oh God, I'm not moving until you do that. No, He expects me to just keep on going. He expects me to take the next step by faith. He expects me to not look back. Amen. He expects me to keep looking to Him, the author and the finisher of my faith. Do you believe that this morning? Malachi 3:1. I know I've got them somewhere. Malachi 3:1 says this, behold, I send my messenger. He's talking about prophetically to Israel. I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me, both in voice and in deed. Amen. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. That's in Jerusalem. And even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Hear me, I want to repeat that. He is coming again. He is. Matthew 3:3 says this, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That is also in the New Testament when God prophesied over John the Baptist. He was one that was prepared to make his path straight. But the anointing didn't stay with just on John the Baptist. It's for every born-again believer to make way for him and make his path straight, that he might come as King, Lord, in his kingdom. Amen. And he wants you and I to be that now messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. That anointing, that same anointing is on your life to be a messenger of the hope, of the glory of God. Are you with me? God is preparing a people who will in the last days prepare a way for the Lord, who like John the Baptist have their hearts burning in their ministry, a walk of light, that they see, they might hear, and behold God's power and authority and goodness in this hour. Amen. He's looking for other Johns, John the Baptist. He's looking for other baptizers in this hour that'll baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll baptize them in the whole people in the Holy Ghost, that people can come in this hour and experience the goodness of their God. His ministry pointed the way. Who is Jesus Christ and the kingdom is at hand? There was a church in Revelation 3:14. There was a church in Revelation 3:14 called the Church of Laodicea. And let's read that. And the angel of the church of the write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that they're neither hot nor cold. I wish they were cold or hot, so that you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God doesn't mind hot. God doesn't mind cold. It's his mixture. And lukewarm is mixture. Amen. In fact, the book of Isaiah says this, remove the alloy or the mixture out of your life. And it literally means alloy. Amen. So it shouldn't be something that's man-made. Alloy just doesn't happen. It's man-made. There has to be a mixture to get an alloy. Remove the mixture out of your life. Amen. Either be hot or cold. But please make a decision. God can work with a decision. He can't work with lukewarmness. Amen. Because you say I am rich, this is the word lukewarm. Because you say I am rich because and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. The minute I become self-dependent and self-sufficient is the minute I will walk in lukewarmness. I will go to God for this, but I don't need to acknowledge Him for that. Because I can do that. Yeah. My Bible says, acknowledge me in. And they do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and you're naked. I counsel from you to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Where's the gold found?
In the fire.
Embrace your fire. Hear me. Embrace your fire. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put in the fire, but it did not harm them. Your fire sets you free. Your fire sets you free. Your fire will loose the bonds of whatever's been holding you back. Amen? Because it will cause you to confront issues that you would not necessarily confront. Amen? Counsel you to buy me from gold fire and the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of my nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with salve that you may see. In other words, they were blind. And that's what mediocrity and that's what warmness does. It blinds me to the things of God. You lose vision. Don't get me wrong, you can see. But there's a difference between seeing and vision. Seeing is with the natural. Vision is with the eye of the Spirit. You can see. And my Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. I can't remember what it says. We lose our vision. We shall perish if we lose our vision. Eh? Like people out of view, that's the one. People, I need a drink. Someone get me some water. I'm parched. They lost their way, they went their way. They lost the way and they went their way. They lost the way, who's Christ, and went their way. And lost the core of the message that was given to them, which is love, consecration, dedication. Love, consecration, and dedication. Amen. Laodicea literally means this, people's opinions, or the people's rule. In other words, they were ruled by what they felt, what they thought, and what they did, what they think. Amen. Instead of being led by the Spirit, they were led by their feelings or their emotions and people's rule. Where they lost their first love because they made their opinion greater than God's command. Hear me. And I, when I'm saying this, we've all done it. None of us are exempt. I've done it, and I know if I've done it, you've done it. For all things are common. Amen. They lost the capacity to see the error of their way. Laodicea, who lost the way and went their way, and their hearts became lukewarm to the things of the Lord due to their own self-sufficiency. They lost the core of their message. Amen. They lost the core of their message. They were doing stuff, but they didn't even know why they were doing it. They lost their first love. Amen. They lost their first love. They became the church that had power. But no character. And I know that sounds tough. But you will not know them by their power. You will know them by their fruit. Amen? Because the gifts and calling of God are without what? Repentance. This church, power, but no character. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was God's messenger with a certain mantle on his life, and he had what they call a Nazarite vow on him. Thank you. Thanks. He had a Nazarite vow upon him. Amen. There was a man in the Old Testament that had the same vow. His name was Samson. He had the same vow. He was called by that vow. Both men called from the womb. Both men an answer to prayer. Both men had a mantle from God, and both men had a mandate from God to fulfill. Amen. One walked by conviction. The other one had contention. John the Baptist said this, "Lord, help me to decrease that you might increase." But you will only find two times in the whole book of Judges, where Samson prayed. Once when he died, and the second time because he got hungry. He never called on the Lord. He moved by his own strength and power. He's a type of the Laodicean church. He moved in his own strength, his own power, and he had an expectation. And he drew people. Amen. He drew people. One humbled himself, saying, "I must decrease that you might increase." The other struggled with humility. And when that happens to us, you can move with power, but without courage. And this is where a lot of Christians fall. Especially men and women that might have charisma and courage and what's the word I'm looking for? They have this thing about them, a charm about them. They have this persona about them that attracts people. Amen? But that attraction isn't necessarily God. It isn't. What has to happen is when someone has an anointing on their life, they must grow in the character of God. If you don't grow in the character of God, if you have power without character, you will end up in sin. You will end up in sin. Because it's the character of God that God desires, and the ministry of God flowing through you is what God wants to release to bless others. But if I camp around the power and not the character, I can be led astray and deceived. Are you with me? He had power without presence. A vow of a Nazarite was upon him. This is Samson. But the vow didn't have him. The call was upon him. But the call didn't have him. He exercised power, and yet he still did things wrong. Samson struggled in his walk, and Samson's greatest struggle was this: identity. And this is one of the greatest things that you will find in the body of Christ struggle with is their identity, because their past keeps speaking to them. And they don't let go of what's been said about them, either from their mothers or their fathers or their grandfathers. I don't care who it is, friends, whomever. That voice keeps speaking to them, and they begin to believe the voice of it more than the voice of God. And so you will find in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted. Remember, he was tempted in three places or three times. And two times he said this Satan, "If you are the Son of God." Twice out of the three temptations, he questioned Jesus' identity. Amen? That's how powerful it is that you know whose you are. Because it will keep you in the midst of temptation. It will keep you in the midst of your battle. You've got to know who you are in Christ. Otherwise, what will happen is others will form an opinion of you, and you will conform to their opinion. Because no matter who you are, you need identity. Samson hungered for identity. I'm going to go off a beaten track a little bit, but stay with me. So much so that he pursued a prostitute who he went to, three women in his life, who he went to over again because she was speaking something over him, and it was something that was lacking in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have kept going to her because he had to pass all these other prostitutes to get to her. Her name was Delilah. She lifted the gab. She knew exactly what he wanted to hear, and it soothed him to a point where he could rest and fall asleep. She was speaking over him. And she was manipulating the whole situation to get the gift that was on his life. Pride was still his problem, and she kept speaking to him until he trusted her enough to reveal his identity. And the devil always has a lullaby song to rob you of your identity. Moses. Samson didn't value the call of God upon his life. He was a Nazarite. And you can read, Numbers 6 and 7, the Nazarite oath. It's given four distinctives: separation, worship, blessing, and separation, worship, blessing, and service. That's what a Nazarite vow should bring in your life. Samson didn't acknowledge what God had given him. He killed a lion on his way to see his wife. And then later on, he went to visit his wife. His wife was a Philistine, wasn't even of the house of God. Later on, he came back to visit his wife. And he went to see the lion that he had killed. And there were some bees in the midst of the remember that? And he went inside and he took of the honey. But the Nazarite vow says this: touch not a dead thing. And when you go back to touch the dead thing, if I ever go on my walk and go back to the dead thing in my life, the devil will make sure there's something sweet in that, because he wants me to partake. So the vow and my calling gets manipulated and affected. And the honey and the vow was broken. But he didn't just do that. Now it affected his whole house, because he gave the honey to his mother and his father. And they didn't know where it came from, because if they did, they wouldn't have partook. Because when you touch the dead thing that once you destroyed in your life, and you go back to the old and go back to yesterday and start touching the dead thing in our lives, it affects the anointing on you. It affects the anointing on you. And hear me, the devil will make sure in the midst of the dead thing, there'll be some honey. There'll be some honey. What I've got to do is let the dead thing die and keep on walking. Amen? You've got to keep on walking. You've got to keep on walking. And celebrate the goodness of God, but do not touch the dead thing. And the dead things in our life is my yesterday. Old things have what? What do we say when someone dies? They've passed. They passed away. Your yesterday is dead. I'm going to say it again. Your yesterday is dead. The only person that can bring life to my yesterday is me. If I go back to touch that thing. Amen. When Jesus set you free and saved you, he sealed your past. It is as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It is finished. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. It is dead. That old man is dead. That old man is buried. That old man is eternally dead. Your body, you will be giving a brand new body. This old body will never inherit kingdom living. It is dead. Leave it dead. Leave the pain of your yesterday dead. Leave what people have said to you in your past. Let it be dead. The more you visit it, the devil will try and put honey in the midst of the dead. He'll want you to camp around that old thing. You're not moving in the purposes of your God. Amen. Your God has a destiny for your life. And sometimes, just sometimes, it can be painful to leave the dead things alone. Here's another thing we should do. I need to make sure my mouth is full of life. Because if someone's lacking identity in your household, and if you do not give it to them, they will find something or someone that will. Everyone needs to know where they belong. Everyone. That's why my Bible says in the book of Revelations, he gives you a new name. My new name. I need to walk in my new name. Anyway, we won't go there. I need to walk in what God has destined for my life. You are the redeemed of God. Saved, you are sanctified. You have been decreed righteous and you've been decreed holy before the Lord. Amen. Now I've got to walk out the consecration of all that. But I am that. Whether I feel that or I don't feel that, I am that. Therefore, when it comes to me and reminds me of my failings of my past, guess what I say? That is not me. I am dead. That is the old man. He is gone. I'm a new creation. That is not me. I do not bear the weight of that. Otherwise, what I'm doing, I'm questioning the power of the blood. Glory to Jesus. Are you with me? Strength without conviction will lead me to sin. Samson, strength, but he had no conviction. And guess what happened with poor old Samson? He found a woman, a devil. And she started speaking over him. And he relaxed and he revealed the innermost secrets of his heart. She sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Serious. She sold him down the tube. And all of a sudden, he got his hair cut off. And here, this is what they did. They took out his what? And that's what happens when you walk in strength without conviction, you vision. And poor old Samson was walking for a lot of years. It was years, actually. Round and round in circles. Pushing the mill wheel around. Take the oxen, take away the donkey. And he was the donkey. Walking around and around and around for years in a circle. And sometimes, you know, when you lose vision, we walk around and around. And all of a sudden, something happened to Samson. His consecration started coming back. His hair started to grow. For only the second time in his life, he called out to the Lord. And he said this, "Lord, give me the strength that my latter day will be better than my former day, and I can have vengeance on my enemy." And all of a sudden, you know he had changed because he asked a young lad to lead him by the hand. He was strong, but he learned humility. And if I ever want to get my vision restored, if I've lost vision and I want vision restored in my spirit man, humble myself. Humble myself. And all of a sudden, he started walking. The young man led him to the pillars, and he pushed the pillars down. And his victory was greater than that day than any other day. Amen. Your God wants to get victory out of you. He never cried to God about his eyes. Never once mentioned to God about his eyes. Never once mentioned to God why he was going round and round in circles. All he wanted was redemption. Amen. And your God wants to get victory out of your life. And he can stop the cycle. If you're experiencing a cycle in life, he can stop it like that if you cry out. Like that. Just like that. Mums and dads, give me your ear. You are the voice children will hear that determines their destiny. Speak life over them all the time. Try and refrain from words like this. Stupid. Lazy. You'll end up like nothing. Don't do that. You're just like your... Don't say that. Speak life. Even when there's no life to see, speak life. Because faith comes by, amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. You are the voice of God to them when they're young. They need to find their identity in you. So when the rubber hits the road in their teens, and it will, hear me, it will. How do I know that? We were all teenagers once. Just reflect back. It will hit the road. They will remember their identity. And they won't have to look to another in the arms of another man or in the arms of another woman to find who they belong to. So they'll have the strength to get up out of that situation and go home. Amen. We are their prophet of their tomorrow. You and I. And may I say this? It never stops. I don't care how old they get. It never stops. Sometimes you want to hit them, bash them, knock into them, especially when they're 40. Not really. It never stops. They need to hear from their mother and father their identity. I don't care if they're not walking with the Lord. You speak to them as they are. You love on them until the goodness of God leads them to repentance. Amen. Just on loving them. Just keep on loving them. What am I saying? What's coming out of my mouth? Last scripture. I'll quickly finish on this. Job 6:24. Job lost everything. Remember that? He lost a lot. He says this in 6:24. Teach me, I will hold my tongue. You know, some things you've got to learn. Teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. In other words, help me to be what you want me to. Help me control this lip. Help me control this tongue. Help me to speak how you want me to speak. That's why it's imperative I get a hold and ask the Holy Ghost to lead me and guide me. I cannot do it in my own strength. I need the Holy Ghost. I need Him to train my tongue. Amen? I need Him to teach me to hold it when everything within me wants to give them a little something. Just an encouraging word. You know that encouraging word that you bite your tongue on about later? No, he doesn't want me to do that. He wants you and I to be messengers of this hour in word and in deed. Amen. And it's not by performance, might, nor power. Come on now. But by His love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, gentleness, self. Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know why they should have rubbed that one out. Yet it's the most important one. All of that has to come under the foundation of self-control. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. As sons of God, we're led by the Spirit. Amen. But the minute I turn to the counsel of my heart is the minute I stop hearing. And I'm going to give you another hint. Footnote. Your heart will always find its way out. Always does. Electricity always takes the least path of least resistance. Your heart will... You'll not want to go through tribulation and work something out. Neither would I. I'll always look for the cheap, easiest way out. Your heart will always counsel you to the easiest way out. But the things of the Spirit, He might cause something to die. He might cause you to leave something alone and not touch it again. He might want you to keep on walking when everything within you wants to reach out and touch. And when it looks sweet, it might want you to touch it. When I reach out and touch the old and partake of it, you are not just affecting yourself, it will affect your house. And you can't afford to do that. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closing. Your God, my God, wants to do a new thing in me. But there are some things He wants you to leave alone. There are some things He wants you to walk away from and keep on walking. Amen. And He wants to be the God that shapes your destiny, your identity. He wants to be the one that shapes your identity. No one else. And He wants you to be the one that shapes your children, your babies, your children, your kids, by speaking life, 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 in Jesus' name. If you want to be that messenger of Jesus this morning, of the Word, and then you lift up your hands before the Lord and humble yourself before Him. Say, God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. Just like Isaiah, my Lord, I'm a man of hopes. Let the coal touch my lips this morning. Let the coal touch my lips this morning. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. That out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Rivers of living waters. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, we come because we say we need you. We need you. We need you in this hour. And Father, we say, let the coal fall upon my lips that I might speak that word in due season, and I might speak life and destiny to those around me in my house, that they might walk in the fruitfulness of their God all their days. Lord, to the generations after them, generation upon generation, let the blessing flow. We pray that in the name of Jesus, because we know we serve a God who cannot lie. We serve a God who says yes and amen. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, like John, help me to dig that you might increase. In Jesus' name we pray. And if that's you this morning, tell Him amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Be aware of the honey. Beware of the honey. Amen. Keep on walking. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. In name, amen.